my motivation to study Wilson Lucas, which is the SCFT correspondence. Then I will review the definition of Wilson loops in any input for superior mills, and in particular, I will recall half EPS loops, which are the straight line and the circle. And so I will mainly concentrate on the circle and review the matrix model, which is supposed to compute the Wilson, circular Wilson loop in the gauge theory exactly. And then I will move to the strict theory dual description, and I will first recall the standard description of Wilson loop, the fundamental representation using fundamental strings. And then I will review this new dictionary relating Wilson loops in higher representation to D3 and D5 brains. So this came out in the last year and a half after work of Drucker and Fiol, Yamaguchi, and then Gomes and Passerini. And then I will discuss my own work in this subject, namely the computation of correlators of giant Wilson loops and current primaries. I will review the operator product expansion of Wilson loops and how is this related to correlators. And then I will present the computation of the correlators both in supergravity using the D-brains and in the gauge theory using the matrix model, and I will show that one gets exact agreement between these two calculations. So as I said, my motivation is in the SCFT duality. I just briefly recall that this is supposed to be an exact equivalence between n equal 4 superior means and type 2 string theory on ADS 5 versus 5 with this identification of parameters. So L is the radius of ADS 5 and ADS 5, and lambda is the tooth coupling. So of course, this is a strong weak duality. For example, if alpha prime over L square is small, then lambda is big. And this makes the correspondence interesting, but very difficult to check directly. Most of the computations were done in the supergravity limit, which consists of taking n to infinity with lambda fixed, and then taking lambda very big. So this decouple G-string and alpha prime effects. And for many observables that were considered, usually they are either protected by supersymmetry, and then one can compute them on both sides, but they are independent of lambda and n. Or for more interesting observables, they are not; they are only computable at weak coupling in the gauge theory or a strong coupling in ADS. And one doesn't know the interpolating function between weak and strong coupling. But some Wilson loop, in particular the circular one, are actually are non-trivial in lambda and n, but they are conjectured to be exactly computable in gauge theory. So they are, for this reason, quite interesting to look at. OK, so the Wilson loop operator in n equal 4 superior mills is given by this definition. So for now, I take the trace to be in the fundamental representation. So the Wilson loop is a non-local observable, which usually is the holonomy of the gauge field around the closed path. In n equal 4, it is natural to also add the coupling to the 6 scalars. And the contour C is defined by x mu, which is a loop in R4, and theta I, which is a curve in R6, and we take it to be a unit vector. So it is a curve on an S5. And depending on the choice of C, one can add that the Wilson loop preserves some supersymmetries. And in particular, in the case of half EPS loops, we have two possibilities. One is the straight line, which is just x mu taken in this form, and theta I is taken to be just a point on the S5. And this Wilson loop preserves the following bosonic subgroup of the conformal times R-symmetry group. So the SO5 is just the unbroken part of SO6 after we fix a point on the S5. The SO3 are rotations around the line, and this is basically the conformal group in one dimension along the line. And this straight line preserves 8 Poincaré supersymmetry and 8 superconformal symmetries independently. And it is believed to be protected, so the expectation value is exactly one, independent of lambda n. This has been checked in perturbation theory and from ABS. So the more interesting case for me would be the circular loop, which is given by, so it's a circle in R4, and we still take theta to be a point on the S5. So this is related to the straight line by a conformal transformation, and it preserves the same bosonic subgroup of conformal time star symmetry. And it is also half BPS, although in a different sense. This time it preserves some combinations of Q and S instead of Q and S separately. And it is not protected, so the expectation value is a non-trivial function of lambda n. But nonetheless, it is conjectured to be computable in gauge theory, and we review now how. Okay, so the conjecture is that the expectation value for this circular Wilson loop is given exactly by some matrix model. So it's just an Hermitian Gaussian matrix model in this part. So this was a conjecture of Erickson, Semenov, and Zarembo, and later Drucker and Gross in 2000. And the key observation of Erickson, Semenov, and Zarembo, who computed the Wilson loop in perturbation theory, is that so when you compute, when you expand Feynman diagrams, you see that the combined scalar and gauge field propagator become just a constant. So if you do the explicit computation and you plug the expression for the circle, you find that this propagator is just some constant. It doesn't depend on tau 1 and tau 2. And well, just as an aside, for the straight line, if you compute this, this will be just zero. So the propagator is zero. This is a way to understand why the straight line is trivial. And so then, using this observation, Erickson and Zarembo proved that the sum of all Lattice diagrams of this kind without internal vertices is equal, well, is given by the Lagrangian limit of this matrix model. And they conjecture that graphs with internal vertices vanish, and they check this up to three loops. Later, Drucker and Gross argued that this is an exact result in lambda n, and they use some conformal anomaly argument. Namely, they observe that the circle and the line are related by a conformal transformation, but it's a singular transformation and has an anomaly. And the anomaly is just the matrix model. Okay, so from this matrix model, one can get some exact expression interpolating between weak and strong coupling. For example, at large n, it's easy to compute this expectation value in the matrix model. So at large n, one go to the eigenvalue basis and produce a density of eigenvalues and replace the trace with an integral over the density. For the Gaussian potential, the density is well known. It's just the Wigner semicircle law. So this would be the expectation value of the circular loop at large n. And this is just a Bessel function. So this is supposed to be the exact result, which interpolates between a weak coupling expansion and a strong coupling asymptotic behavior, which goes like e to the square root of lambda. And this is actually reproduced exactly by extreme computation in ABS. And so Drucker and Gross later solved the model even at finite n. Well, it can be solved exactly, and this is just given by some Laguerre polynomial and has some expansion 1 over n. So these are higher genus non-planar terms. And we will see that the brains will be able to capture a set of these planar, non-planar corrections.
So these functional loops are happy BPS?
Yes. But
they're not
half BPS in the usual sense. They preserve a combination of Q and S. Okay, so the string theory description of
Is it a simple combination of Q and S, or it's a complicated one?
No, it's basically Q plus S with some relative coefficient.
So do you have an intuitive argument why there would be a dependence on the couplings?
No, I don't have an intuitive argument, but I think it's related to the fact that there's S involved in supersymmetries. So there is, but this is not very well discussed, but I think there is no renormalization theorem in this case if S means if Q plus S, which is preserved.
It's not a primary operator, it's not Q by S. Operator is not a primary, not Q by S.
Okay, so the usual prescription to compute the Lewis loop in ADS-CFT is just to take a fundamental string worksheet landing on the curve which defines the Lewis loop at the boundary. And then the expectation value of the Lewis loop is supposed to be the string partition function, which in a saddle point approximation we approximate to just e to the minus s evaluated on the minimal surface. For the circular loop, it's easy to find the minimal surface. It's convenient to write the ADS 5 metric in this way. And then the Wilson loop is taken, of course, sits at z equals 0, which is the boundary. And then R1 equals A, R2 equals 0. And it's parametrized by the angle psi. And the minimal surface is just given by this simple equation. So it looks like a semi-sphere, but actually, if you plug this in the metric, you find that the induced metric is ADS2. So this is the intrinsic geometry of the worksheet. And if we want to compute the expectation value, we just evaluate the Nambu-Goto action on this solution. So in computation of Wilson loops, there is always a divergence is close to the boundary, so we have to introduce a cutoff, z minimum. And then this action has a finite part plus this divergence. There is a well-understood procedure to subtract this divergence, which I will not discuss now, but once you regularize, the regularized action is just minus square root lambda, and the expectation value is e to the square root lambda. And so this agrees with the strong coupling limit of the matrix model. So up to now, I just discussed fundamental representation. So we could ask, what about general higher representations?
So is the statement about divergence true for arbitrary Wilson loop?
This, yes. Yeah.
Because, for example, I don't know in the AES case, but in some, not precisely in the AES case, but in some geometries, if you look at the lifelike Wilson loop, then it's actually finite. So you don't need to subtract anything.
Okay. You said not in ADS.
In a black hole, this is all these issues of jet quenching. So in those cases, people look at the last light possible, and that one is a finite. So you don't need to subtract.
I see.
Well,
for the cases I will discuss, this is it's always there. It's a divergence that you have when you approach the boundary.
You probably have time like this.
Well, these are Euclidean circles.
Okay, so that's in the ball. Okay, so that's cool. Could be, you know, because. Okay.
Okay, so a generic Wilson loop operator can be given this problem. We can specify some representation of the gauge group in which we take the trace. This representation can be conveniently represented by some Young tableau. So, for example, a single box is the fundamental representation. This we have seen that corresponds to a fundamental string. A row would be a symmetric representation. A column is an anti-symmetric representation. This is a generic representation. And the rank of the representation is just the number of boxes in the tableau. So we want to understand what's the dual description of these higher representations. And intuitively, one could think that a rank k representation could be constructed by taking k fundamental strings, a system of k interactive fundamental strings. But this is not a very convenient description. And you could ask if there is a better effective description of this system. And well, there is, and the idea is that if k is large enough, these strings may polarize and blow up into a D-brain with k units of fundamental string charge. And okay, so how do we find what are these D-brains? Well, the guideline is that the D-brain described in this higher rank LTPS Wilson loops should, of course, preserve half supersymmetries. If we want to describe line or circle, they should preserve the same symmetry group. And this will show up as geometric factors of ADS2, S2, and S4. And they should carry k units of electric flux on their whole volume. And to have the correct boundary condition to describe the Wilson loop, they should land on the boundary on the curve describing the Wilson loop. Okay, so the precise dictionary that was found out by Gomis and Passerini after the work of Chiol and Drucker and Yamaguchi is the following. So we consider this large rank representation with k of order n. And so if we take a symmetric representation, so a single row with k boxes, then this is the holographic dual description is given by a D3 brain with k units of electric flux, wrapping an ADS2 cross S2. And this S2 is a sphere inside the ADS5 in the geometry. And if we consider an anti-symmetric representation, then the dual description is given by a D5 brain wrapping an ADS2 cross S4. And the S4 is inside the S5 part of the geometry. And so as I said, the k units of electric flux on the whole volume are related to the rank of the representation. The ADS2 factor can be thought of as the string worship. And then about every point of this worship, there is a blown up sphere, which could be an S2 or an S4. And the radius of these spheres is controlled by the ratio k over n. So as a consistency check of this picture, we can observe, for example, that in the case of the symmetric representation, when the S2 is inside the ADS5, the radius of this sphere is, can be arbitrarily large, because it's inside ADS5, and this is related to the fact that symmetric representation can be can have any rank as long as you want. And on the other end, if the S4 is inside S5, of course the S4 is bound by the S5 itself. And this is related to the fact that the anti-symmetric representation is at most of rank n. So then if we consider arbitrary Young diagrams like this with I rows or j columns, one has two equivalent descriptions, which are supposed to be dual. And so this can be described either by a collection of I D3 brains with fluxes N1, N2, and I, or as a collection of J D5 brain with fluxes M1, M2, and J. So this general proposal was given by Gomis and Passerini. So this dictionary looks, of course, very similar to what we know about giant gravitons. So actually, it's almost exactly the same. So we have BPS chiral primers, which are local operators roughly of this form, where Z is a combination of two real scalars. J is the arc charge of the operator that corresponds to an angular momentum on S5. So if J is very small compared to N, then the dual description of these operators is just supergravity fluctuations. If J is of order N, then these are described by spherical D3 brains with volume R plus S3, and these are the giant gravitons. And they come in two kinds. One is called the giant when the S3 is inside the S5, and the other one is called the dual giant when S3 is inside the S5. And the operator dual to this D-brains is some multi-trace operator which can be written as a trace in an anti-symmetric representation for the giant, or a trace in a symmetric representation for the dual giant. And when J is of order n squared, one has order n of these D-brains, and one has to consider the back reaction, and one has new geometries. So these are the LLM geometries, which correspond to generic Young diagrams with order n square boxes.
So, in this case, how do we know that the dual giant corresponds to the operator?
Well, this is the proposal, but I would say it's at this point, it's actually less checked than this one. But this is the proposal which was given by Balasubramanian and others.
You can check that. You can put Balkan strings on those. I'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and you can check.
You can check that you get the right sigma model with the right one.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you about this giant Wilson loop. So do you have any control or small fluctuations around them?
It's a very interesting project I'm thinking about, yes. Study fluctuation around these solutions. And, yeah. Okay, so for Wilson loops, that's exactly at least Wilson loop in a rank K representation. If K is much smaller than N, then one has fundamental strings. Case of order n, one has D-brains, and we can call them giant Wilson loops in analogy with the giant gravities. And so again, it's very similar. In the case in which the sphere, the blown-up sphere, is inside the S5, then we can call this a giant, and it corresponds to a Young tableau, which is just a column. And if the sphere is inside the S5, we can call it a dual giant, and correspond to a row. And even in this case, if we consider order n squared, rank, then we have new geometries. We need to consider the back reaction of these D-brains, and these are these bubbling Wilson line geometries discussed by Yamaguchi and Lunin.
Is there any relation, since these D-brains are extending the ADS direction to with this deconformal field theory, where you actually put a D-brain in ADS, and you have to have some kind of fundamental matter multiplied to the gauge theory, there's no relation here. If you compute like expectation values of operators with this Wilson loop present there, isn't that the same as doing it with the deconformal field theory?
Yeah, I think they are related. That's the way. I think it's the way that in which Gomez and Passerin proved that this D-brain corresponds to inserting the Wilson line. Okay, very briefly, I will review the D3 brain solution because I will need it later. So this was found by Scholl and Drucker, 2005. To find the explicit solution corresponding to a circular loop, it's convenient to change coordinate from this system coordinate to this one. And there is an explicit change of coordinate to make. And the Wilson loop in this coordinate is just that theta equals 0, which is the boundary, and the rho equals 0. And psi still parameterizes the circle. And to find the D-brain solution, one takes a specific answer. Namely, we take the world volume coordinate to be psi, rho, theta, and phi. And then the transverse scalar eta depends on your rho, and electric field, the only component is f psi rho. And so the D3 brain action includes a DBI piece and a Vesemino piece, which is the coupling to the Raman-Ramon 4-4. And so with this answer and the constraint that we have k units of flux, the solution is given by this simple relation. And this parameter kappa is related to k over n and the lambda in this way. And if one plug this solution back into the metric and study the induced metric, this is indeed just ADS2 cross S2, and the radius of the S2 is kappa. And when k over n tends to 0, then VS2 shrinks to 0 size, and one falls back to a string worksheet. Okay, so if we want to compute the quantization value of the Wilson loop in this symmetric representation, we have to compute the on-shell V3 brain action. So as a DBI, there's the mean of this, and some a boundary term, which is, well, to cancel play versions. And once one adds these three terms, one gets this function of kappa. So the expectation value is just e to the minus s, and it's given by this expression. And well, the interesting thing is that it has been checked that exactly the same results come out from the matrix model if you compute this matrix integral with the trace of e to the n in the symmetric representation. And in the n goes to infinity and kappa fixed limit, this is just equal to the D3' result. And well, we can also check it that if k over n goes to 0, this expression just reduces to the one you would get from k fundamental strings. And also we can notice that this expression actually encodes an infinite series of 1 over n corrections if one expands in kappa on the planar term plus higher genus terms, which are automatically encoded in the tree brain. If we had to obtain this result by strings, we would have to sum over higher genus corrections. Okay, so the defined brain solution, it's convenient to take this coordinate in which ABS5 is written as an ABS2 cross S2 vibration. And now the Wilson loop sits at zeta goes to infinity, which is the boundary, and u equals 0, and it's still parameterized by psi. And so the answer is this way. The word-volume coordinates are zeta, psi, and ds4. And one takes this answer, c equals 0 and theta equals constant, and we will call it theta k. And what one considers the defined brain action, which is just dBi plus, again, a Vesey mean of peace, one finds that this answer is a solution if theta satisfies this equation. So theta represents the latitude at which the S4 sits inside the S5. And from this, so theta k has to be from 0 and pi. And this is true if k is from 0 and n. And again, one can compute the total on-shell action. And one gets this simple result, proportional to sine cube of theta k. So this is the expectation value of the Wilson loop. And again, this agrees with the matrix model. If you compute this correlator with the trace in the antisymmetric representation, you just get this result. And as for the symmetric representation, when k over n goes to 0, this expression just reduces to the one you get from fundamental strings. Okay, so far I just talked about expectation values of Wilson loops, but so we can ask what can we check more than that. For example, we could check the correlators of the Wilson loop with some local operator. And these correlators can be related to the operator product expansion of the Wilson loops. So namely, if you have a Wilson loop from a distance much larger than its size, it can be always expanded in a sum of local operator. So A is the radius of the loop, delta is the dimension of the corresponding operator, and this C are OP coefficients that we want to determine. And well, are basically obtained by taking the correlator with the operator and dividing by the Wilson loop. And I will be interested in a specific class of operators, namely the RTTS chiral primaries. So this, in general, can be written in this form, where C is a symmetric traceless tensor. If we take them to be in such a way that the two-point function is unit normalized in this way, then the OP coefficients can be precisely extracted by computing this correlator between an operator at a point L very far from the Wilson loop, and then extracting just the leading behavior in 1 over L. And from this correlator, we can read this OP coefficient. And the interesting point is that these coefficients can be computed in both sides, both in supergravity and matrix model. They are non-trivial functions of lambda and n. And for the fundamental representation, this computation was done by Bernstein and Maldacena and others in 98 for supergravity. And in 2001, Simon and Panzarembo reproduced the result from a matrix model. So what I did together with Riccardo Ricci and Diego Trancanelli is computing these coefficients for the symmetric and anti-symmetric representations, both from supergravity and from the matrix model. So to review the supergravity computation, first I want to briefly review how chiral primaries are described in supergravity. So we only consider the case of chiral primaries with dimension much smaller than n. So this corresponds to supergravity fluctuations of ADS 5 versus 5. And to determine which fluctuation correspond to chiral primaries, so you have to extend around ADS 5 versus 5, do a Kaluza-Klein reduction on DS 5, and then the chiral primaries are just dual to the lightest scalars in the compactification, which I call S. The mass is delta delta minus 4. And well, they can be written in a harmonic expansion in this way, where X is a coordinate on ADS and Y on S. So their mass is delta delta minus 4. So this is the old work by Kim, Van Huysen, and Romans. And so actually, this scalars S are just a combination of the trace of the metric along the S5 and the Ramon-Ramon form along the S5. So what we will need for the computation are just basically these formulas, namely when you turn on S, then if you study the equation of motions of supergravity at first order, you find that S excites the following fluctuations of KDS5, the Ramon-Ramon form on the ADS5, and similarly on the S5. So this work came by Lee, Seiberg, Rangamani, and Ingwalla. So this basically is all we need to compute the correlators. And the setup of the computation is straightforward and goes as follows. So we have this D3 or D5 brain landing on the boundary, and then we have some chiral primaries at some point L in the boundary, and we just need to consider the exchanges of supergravity modes from the boundary to the world volume of the D brain. And so first we need to compute what's the coupling of this mode to the world volume, and to do this we just expand the action. Well, we expand the metric and the four form around the background. We use the formulas relating H and A to S, and then we expand it first order. We have piece independent of S and the linear piece in S. Then we write this fluctuation S using the bulk boundary propagator. So well, this is standard in ABS CFT. So in this case, S0 is the source of the boundary, and X and Z are on the world volume. So this is the explicit expression for the bulk boundary propagator. Alpha is a constant that has to be fixed in order to have the unit normalized two-point function. And then to extract the correlator, you just need to differentiate the linear piece respective to the source and set the source to zero. And then looking at the leading behavior, you extract the OPE coefficients. And since we are putting the operator at a distance L much bigger than A, we can, well, the computations are can be simplified by using this approximation for the bulk boundary propagator. Since X prime is L and is much bigger than A, and Z and X are of order A, we can just approximate the propagator in this way. And then we have also some useful approximation for the derivatives. So first the D3 brain calculation. So as I said, you just expand the metric and therefore forming the action. So you get the linear piece in the fluctuation for the DBI and the linear piece in the Vesey minimum. And you insert the explicit expression of H and A respect to the fluctuation S. So this is, well, the two pieces are quite complicated separately, but once you sum them up, you get a simple expression. So this is the linear piece in the action, and if you differentiate respect to the source inside S, and you do the integral, you get this result for the OP coefficient. And so kappa, again, is this combination of Kn and lambda which appeared in the solution. And so we can check that this for k over n small reduced to the known result for the fundamental representation, which was obtained by Bernstein and others. The defined computation goes similarly. The only difference is that now the brain also extends from the S5, so we need also fluctuation along the S5. And also the spherical harmonics play an active role in the computation, so I don't go into the details, but these are the first order fluctuations. Theta k, just to remind you, is the angle at which the S4 sits inside the S5. And this y delta 0 are SO5 invariant harmonics that you obtain after you integrate the general harmonic over the S4 in the word volume. And this S, they have some explicit expression in terms of Gegenbauer polynomial of cosine theta. So these are just the generalization of Legendre polynomials. And now if you, again, you do differentiate respect to the source, you do the integrals, you find that using several recurrence relations of these polynomials, you find that the final result can just be written in this form. It's just proportional to a polynomial at level delta minus 2 with this complicated prefactor. And you can check again that for k over n goes to 0, this reveals to the fundamental representation result. So now the challenge will be to reproduce this OP coefficient from a matrix model. Okay, so recall that the matrix model which is supposed to describe the circular Wilson loop is this Hermitian matrix model, but recently Okuyama and Semenov proposed an equivalent complex model which give the same result, and it's this normal matrix model. So it's called normal because Z and Z bar are constrained to commute with each other. And the one feature of this model is that at large n, the eigenvalues get uniformly distributed into incompressible droplets in the complex plane. So, for example, if you don't have deformation for the Gaussian potential, you just have a circular droplet. And this is, of course, very similar to the description of the LTPS sector of n equal 4 and of the LTPS geometries. And this complex model is useful because it's to write correlators with chiral primaries. Well, it's very easy. You just take the same model and insert chiral primary here. So you need to compute this correlator in the matrix model. Okay, so first I discuss the symmetric representation, which is the easiest. In this case, we can use a shortcut, which is the following effect, that it turns out that in the large n lambda and limit with k over n fixed, the symmetric representation is actually equivalent to a multiple k winding of the fundamental representation. So this was a result proved by Hartmann and Kuhlmann. And so the literary brain can be thought of as describing both. And to compute this multi-winding fundamental representation is much easier in the matrix model, so we can use this representation. So you just take the fundamental representation and replace lambda with k square lambda, and this so is equivalent to inserting the Wilson loops with k windings. And actually, this integral can be solved exactly. It can be written as a contour integral in this form. And now it's very easy to evaluate in the large n limit. And with kappa fixed, you just evaluate the saddle point of the exponent. So you exponentiate this. So you get an action which is 2kw plus the log of this. You evaluate a saddle point, and you find the saddle point is given by this expression. And once you plug back in this contour integral, you get precisely the same expression we got from the decree break after you divide by the Wilson loop. So we get exact agreement with the supergravity computation. So the antisymmetric representation turned out to be slightly more involved, but we are also able to compute it. So in this case, first of all, it's convenient to rewrite the trace in the antisymmetric representation using this generating function, which after you do the T integral, just reproduce the expansion of this trace in terms of fundamental traces. And then the idea, which turned out to be useful to compute these correlators, is to view this insertion of chiral primaries just as a deformation of the Gaussian potential. So first, we use this trick to replace this with the real part, because we expect the correlator to be real. And then you exponentiate this, and you put it in the potential. And then what you have to compute is this correlation function in a matrix model with the deformed potential, which is Gauss plus this deformation. Okay, so we have to determine eigenvalue density at large n with this deformed potential. And the density is found by solving the saddle point equation. So this is just a derivative of the potential, and this comes from the van der Waal factor that you always have when you go to eigenvalue basis. And it's known in the normal matrix model literature that if you have a potential of this kind, the rho is still some constant inside a droplet in complex plane. And so basically, if alpha is zero, you just have the Gaussian, and you have a circle. And if you turn on this deformation, you have some deformed droplets. And you have to determine what's the shape of these droplets. So at alpha equals zero, it's just a circle. And in polar coordinates, it's just r equals square root of n. And for first order in alpha, we can just write it in general in this form. And f, by periodicity, symmetry z goes to z bar, and area conservation can be written in this form, where the n equals zero mode is forbidden by area conservation. And once you plug back this into the saddle point equation above, you find that you find f, and you see that the only mode turned on is the one with n equal delta, and this is the curve describing the deformed droplet. So these are examples of the actual droplet you get for delta equal 2, it's just an ellipse, for delta equal 3, and for delta equal 4. Okay, to go into too many details, but once you have the density to compute the correlator, you just replace the traces with integrals over this density. Then you still have this T integral to do, and this you can do by saddle point approximation at large lambda by doing some change of coordinate, and you find that the saddle point is given precisely by cosine theta k, where this theta k is defined in the same way as from the D5 computation. And then, well, the final result you get for the correlator is this integral, and the last step is to realize that this insertion of the log coming from the generating function in large lambda just acts as a step function. Namely, it sets the argument to be positive. And this means that we have to integrate over this deformed droplet only in this region cut by this step function. So this integral can be done easily, just even by this expression. And well, it was quite surprising, but this integral precisely reproduced these Kirchenbauer polynomials with all the right coefficients to match the Dirac calculation. Okay, so this was my last result. Conclusions. So I discussed this new dictionary relating the brains and Wilson loops. And then I presented the computation of correlators between Wilson loop and chiral primaries. And I showed that the computation of supergravity and gauge theory using the matrix model exactly agrees. So this can be viewed as a non-trivial test of first of the dictionary of giant Wilson loops, then also of the matrix model conjecture for circular loops, and also of ideal CFT. And well, future directions, there are several things one could look at. For example, we can take generic chiral primaries with large dimension, and then to compute these correlators, one would have to compute, well, the bulk correlators between giant gravitons and giant Wilson loops. And this is also supposed to be reproduced by the matrix model. And well, another direction is to look at less supersymmetric Wilson loops. For example, there is a quarter BPS loop recently discussed by Drucker, and well, we could find the B3 hybrid for these loops, and this is work in progress that I'm doing with Drucker, Rich, and Trancanelli. And well, this might maybe lead to a general classification of giant Wilson loops for generic fraction of supersymmetries in a similar way as Mikhailov did for giant gravitons, for example. Okay, so I'll stop here.
Questions for some more? Of course. Wait. If there are no questions, then let's thank you again. So our next speaker is Omar Vasquez. I use him, of course, for